Hey, what's good, everybody? Welcome to the show.
All right, rehearsal's over, baby. We are live.
We are live.
The U.S. men's national team, impressive 1-1 draw against Ecuador. I did not think it would go this way. I'm very happy with what I saw.
A lot of shock. I think it's a when we're going to get to all the stats and everything, but just from as far as passing the eye test, it passed it.
Very much so. I was impressed with a lot of the players. The tell of the tape, though, I mean, when you look at how we played against Ecuador, the shirt you're wearing, how we played against you, because Benedict Arnold.
Shout out to Freddie, the homie.
Shout out to Freddie.
Sent us the Ecuador shirt, so thank you.
And you decided to wear it today of all days. Here's the game summary. Obviously, a goal each. XG, and I want to talk about this because I think this is, a lot of times people are like, I don't really trust XG. No, this is exactly how it was. This is literally what happened. This is 1.09 for the U.S., 0.49 for Ecuador. So more than double. Obviously, possession, very impressive, 66%. Shots on target goes to the U.S. Corners goes to the U.S. This was I wouldn't call it an overwhelming, you know, sort of control of the game by the U.S., but this very much was the U.S. had run of this game outside of maybe the first 10, 12 minutes.
Yeah. Yeah. The first the first 4 minutes were kind of the most like terrifying.
There were some scary moments.
We didn't look
there.
Like we'd be ready, but 66% possession, 109 XG. Even the corners, I'm like, this is not even like the announcer mentioned it during the broadcast. Like it was the 8 is the record under Mauricio Pochettino. And we're at a place with the national team. When I heard that, I'm like, this is progress. You know,
ready for the World Cup?
Forget Klinsmann.
Yeah.
Forget Bob Bradley.
Hell yeah.
We got 8 corners.
8 corners. How many points is that in a group stage?
Okay. We get a Ballon d'Or for most corners.
There was a time where the sort of 4 of us in the room were talking about XG of the game, and Ecuador hadn't had that many shots on target at that point. And I was like, wait, what? And I think the U.S. had 4 at that time. So it just goes to show just how influential some of the players that I didn't even think we'd be talking about, because in particular, Tanner Tessman and Aiden Morris. I mean, first of all, the forwards, y'all goated. I love what Balogun's doing. We'll talk about him in a minute. I love what Weah has been doing. I love what Malik Tillman was out there doing. Absolutely impressed. But Aiden Morris and Tanner Tessman, 2 names we hadn't heard much under Pochettino, came in and they look like they've been here the entire time.
Yeah, Aiden Morris, I did like. I thought Tanner Tessman did well. I don't know if it's a complaint necessarily.
The hater corner.
How many hater corners did we get this game? I think Aiden Morris and Tanner Tessman are kind of very similar types of players. So it's like,
I don't think we saw that out there though.
Not necessarily, but they feel like a similar profile of player.
I disagree. I think Tanner Tessman really loves to sort of be the defensive midfielder that helps in the attack. And I think Aiden Morris is the engine in the middle, box to box. Kind of gives me a young Dax McCarty vibe. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Willing to do the dirty work, but really good in attack.
That's fair. I feel like I don't need both of them on the field at the same time.
All right. Like, well, I liked it.
But welcome, everybody. Shout out to the people in the chat. Thank you for hanging out. Shout out to if anybody's new here, we're on across all the Yahoo Sports channels. We're on YouTube. So shout out to everybody watching. My name is Christian. That's Alexis. We do the show 2 days a week here on Yahoo Sports Network. And
thank you for hanging out with
YouTube and all platforms and stuff like that. So thanks for hanging out with us after the U.S. men's national team game. But let's get to the player of the match.
Who's your player of the game? I'm going to guess Aiden Morris and Tanner Tessman put together.
Combine. Just fuse them together.
Aiden Tessman, bro. No, for me, and I think everyone in this room would agree, it was Phil-Aaron Balogun.
Balogun was.
This is by far the best he's looked since the United Nations League. Why was he speaking here? really chilling speech again. Since the Nations League in Vegas under BJ Callahan, which I think we'd all been leading. Why haven't we seen this Balogun since? Not only did he look as good since then, it might even have been playing better since that time.
Sure. Balogun, again, poised, played with a lot of intent.
The connection that he had with everyone else. Him, Weah, and Malik Tillman ooh, they were speaking a different language. You know what I mean? They understood each other. What impressed me the most about Balogun, something I hadn't seen enough of, not since he was at Stade Reims, I hope I pronounced that correctly, Stade Reims, is that sort of that transition game of, he's not necessarily the fastest guy on the pitch, but his ability to get the ball at his feet, get past the back line to, you know, get around guys, cause mayhem in the transition that gives other folks space, or maybe he takes a shot. Not the best shots we saw him take in those transition games, but just that assertiveness. We had not seen that, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Me and you've been begging for this, bro. We've been trying to glaze this dude for a hot minute.
let us glaze you, bro.
Don't just stand there, dude.
And credit to the kind of the rest of the midfielders. There was a lot of service too. Good service to Balogun.
Five bars.
That that's right.
That's good service right there. You got five bars, bro.
The ball, I believe, from McKennie, the long ball.
Yeah.
Immediately from a turnover, Balogun knows. I'm like, yo, turn on the Jets. Let's go.
How long have we been doing this episode? We haven't even mentioned McKennie's name until now.
That is, yeah.
That's how good those other players were.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Weren't you begging? Oh, why is it McKennie? Why aren't we starting the starters? And now look.
Yeah, McKennie did a good thing. And alongside the players that I also want to see on the
what
national
team. What I'm saying is those other players that were getting chances that aren't your typical starters are starting to shine. They're looking good.
Sure.
All right. Yeah. So then this was all worth it. Alexis was right yet again.
Okay. We got already.
Shouts to everybody in the chat. Thank you so much for hanging out with us.
David from Tampa just said Morris, Balo, and Tillman were silky, silly together or silky.
I think he said silky, silly together.
It sounds silky, silly, but
or
I don't
silly,
know.
Silky together.
I don't know what the intent was there. Silky is fine. Silky, silly. Yeah, yeah. You want to get a little goofy out there with a little bit of class.
I'm not going to lie to you. I'm confused. It's been too much. I'm really happy with the way Aiden Morris, Balogun, Tillman looked out there. Again, Weah, the link up between all of them, I was so impressed.
And the thing I like, I probably noticed it a lot more with Tillman and this iteration of this national team. There was a... especially with Ecuador, you would expect us to be nervous. You would expect us to be a little bit concerned.
Or feel like we're on the back foot.
Right. And, you know, there were times when Tillman had the ball in the midfield, like, you know, soul on top of the ball. And defenders just like, I'm not going to try and go after this. Like,
something happens. If I get closer to him, he seems to cook me. So maybe I don't get close to him.
So there were just a couple moments like that. And not to say that he did anything insanely flashy. He did get the assist, even though I do think...
A lot of back heels. A lot of back heel flicks.
Yeah, but there was a swag.
Yeah.
That...
Confidence.
Yeah. That, yeah. I think we're sort of not used to seeing against an opponent like this, a top CONMEBOL opponent. So...
And again, look, you know, we could talk a lot about Balogun getting player of the match. You saw his stats there. But remember this, he scored against a team. Here's the list of other nations that have not scored recently against Ecuador. Paraguay didn't score against them. Peru didn't score against them. Argentina, you heard of them?
Okay.
Didn't score against them. Brazil, heard of them? Couldn't score against Ecuador. Chile couldn't score against Ecuador. Before that, Colombia, Bolivia couldn't score. Uruguay couldn't score. Paraguay again. I mean, no one is scoring against Ecuador. The United States of America, Phalerin Balogun, has scored against Ecuador. That's how difficult this competition was. And not only did we run the game, control the match, really on both sides, we scored against them.
Yeah, there's a lot to be proud of. Yeah, Michael Raymond just said, you know who is not player of the match? Josh Sargent.
Yeah.
That is correct.
I also want to say... Patrick Adjiman was as effective in this game as he'd been recently when he's out on the pitch.
Same as Josh Sargent.
And
all right.
But at least he was there.
What's this say? Maybe I said Sargent was solid. I assume I'm not going to swear, but was solid while watching Norwich.
Here we go. We got USMNT takes with this tweet. I'm very pleased with the showing for USMNT today. We look like the better 90%. We look like the better team, a nation, 90% of the match. You want to clean up those lapses because as we just saw today, just one can turn into a goal. Also, we need to put away the chances we get, but solid performance from the team overall. I would disagree with nothing that was said there. I think for the most part, I think we saw a team that had, again, I think, and we've done this before in other matches, we have complete control of the match. We get to that final third and it starts to get it's a little tough for them. You know what I mean? There's a little bit of nerves. They got one in today, so I can't complain about that.
Yeah, there was a real... Oh, wait. So U.S. Embassy Burner says society has progressed past the need for Miles Robinson.
This is crazy.
I thought Miles Robinson was decent.
He was fine, bro.
I mean, yeah. I thought this was... you know, even talking about... Like, to single out Miles Robinson is odd to me because...
He didn't do anything where I'm like, get him off the pitch.
Yeah, not at all.
There were moments where I could say if you thought Freeman shouldn't be on the pitch, I could get it. USMNT only said the USMNT had more shots on target, possession, and over 250 more passes than Ecuador in the 1-1 draw. The best performance of the U.S. men's national team thus far in the Mauricio Pochettino era. Let's put that to a vote. How are we feeling?
Oh, okay.
Me and you.
Democracy.
Yeah. I mean, me and you.
I mean, best performance against the toughest opponent. I would say that.
What's a better performance that they've had?
Whatever. So who we beat in Gold Cup? Guatemala, whatever. I mean, yeah, but okay. I'm just saying we play.
Is this the most impressive performance?
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, absolutely. So. This was the match where I walked in thinking, I think we could lose like 2-0.
Sure.
And to walk away 1-1, I'm very happy.
Yeah, and it's also feeling like Austin might. It's effective. It's, you know, if you're not playing Mexico, you're probably. It feels like a real U.S. home game. There aren't many cities that we kind of get that with.
Right.
So I felt like the home crowd was genuinely. At least more of the crowd was supporting the U.S. there.
Maybe Ann said, he made his name the Cooligans, by the way. said, found out this week that I was 5% Ecuadorian, so puro pinche Ecuador de la Cuna.
You love to see it. All right, Ann, let's go.
Let's go, Ann.
Pedro Nava said, can't wait for Christian to somehow blame Sargent for us not winning. Yes, I can. Maybe if you developed the confidence more by not playing Sargent in previous games, maybe we would have been a little bit better.
This guy hates Sargent so much. So, what else do we have in the chat? Bryce Jackson says, despite the result, I don't think anyone's stock dropped tonight. If I had to nitpick, Weah wasn't great, but it didn't hurt the U.S. Weah had moments where he was great. He wasn't necessarily the most effective, but he had moments where he was absolutely great. So I can't argue. I can't agree with this.
There were a couple moments, and I think Weah is a little bit at fault. There was someone else at fault.
You mean the decisiveness in front of goal?
It was like a 4v3, all running towards the goal. And it's like, just find somebody, like make a slip pass or whatever. And to their credit, there were attempts and Ecuador defended well. And Willian Pacho was a good example of like, these guys are not used to playing against Champions League center backs. And you could see like he was closing in and stopping shots, stopping crosses, stopping developing attacks really, really well. But the fact that we were even there to have to make that caliber of a center back stop those chances,
it's already positive.
Really good sign.
And who are the names from Ecuador that impress you the most? Valencia, Estupiñan, and Pacho. The guys we all know that
sure.
We see
Caicedo,
playing here.
Moises Caicedo didn't play. I don't know if he's not. Was he not called up at all? I'm not exactly sure. But he didn't play in this game at all.
Right.
So
and we're seeing Tim Weah's stats here: 2 shots, 66 touches, 10 passes into the final third, 4 out of 5 ground duels won. He had a great game. Maybe not, you know, and I think the problem with someone like Tim Weah is we've seen highlights and we've seen clips of him just absolutely cutting up a defender, getting around someone, maybe a rocket a shot from a close angle. And we've seen all that. So when he doesn't do those things, we're like, oh, but we know he has that level. But if all we're asking him to do is connect with the other players around him, make the other players around him better, he did that tonight.
I think in this lineup, he played as a right wing back.
Yeah.
So he was moving a lot more, moving more into the center of the pitch. In that position of like sometimes where a 10 would be and trying to make like that. Sort of game-breaking pass or whatever. Even though I thought he had a decent game, I don't think that's his best position as a right wing back because
mm-hmm.
I think he belongs on the right side going 1v1 a lot more, and he didn't really have a lot of opportunities to do that in this game because I think his pace is such a danger that, you know, look, I mean, when you're looking at the line, I mean, this must have been flexible and stuff like that because McKennie's at the right wing, which is odd.
Yeah, but they all moved around.
They moved around. Yeah. I'm just saying, like, this is not my favorite set up. I mean, realistically, Weah and McKennie should be flipped, right? And Weah be on the in the front, and that's what I'm saying. Anyway,
I disagree. Talk to me about Malik Tillman. What did you think about him today?
Because
I was really, really impressed with him yet again.
Outside of like kind of what I was saying, where just not completing those passes into
that
was, the final,
that felt like the whole squad though kind of had
but
those like front of goal jitters. If you
that's my only complaint. Really,
I mean, here's the tail of the tape here. One assist. Six chances created, five passes into the final third, 63 touches. And most important for me was obviously the assist, right?
Mm-hmm.
The assist on the goal.
Which felt like it might have been offside. If the VAR is there, I don't know.
I didn't know you became not only an Ecuadorian today, but also the feds.
I'm glad there's no VAR.
Actually, says Christian. But the moment was obviously Ecuador is dispossessed. They get possession back in the final third. And that moment is a great opportunity to put pressure on the goalkeeper who had been standing on his head all game. He gets the ball and he puts his foot on top of it, like you mentioned before, and he waits for the pressure to come. And then, boom, perfect rocket right to where Balogun's running, just squeezes it in. I'm so happy with what Malik Tillman has brought to this game. His move to Bundesliga and to Bayer Leverkusen, we were there, man, and we were like, oh, man, Erik ten Hag. Don't ruin this for America.
And they heard us.
Yeah. And they were like, thank you for saying that.
He's out of here.
Because we've been thinking it since the preseason and now we're going to do it. And obviously the switch to getting, what's his name again? Heelman, their new coach.
Oh, yeah,
absolutely. He's revived again.
Sure.
He's looking good. He was the best player on the pitch when he was out there when we saw him. So to see him do that again with the national team. Let's go, dude.
Spider Zlatan said the Tillman pass to Luna that Luna hit to the keeper was freaking beautiful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If Luna would have gone for that curler that he has in his locker. Oh.
Yeah, there's a real real quality that we're seeing and development in the last like year, 2 years with Malik Tillman. That's been fantastic. Where he's clearly, you know, he got the big move to Bayer Leverkusen, but like there's a lot of responsibility being put on him there. And
remember, we were worried about what if Gio Reyna doesn't find a club, doesn't get burned? Who's going to be that guy? Who's going to be that 10? When we had that worry, Malik Tillman wasn't ready. He's ready.
Yeah. I mean, more than anything, unless something wild happens in the next few months, Gio Reyna is going to be watching the World Cup with us on TV. Like, oh,
yeah. Maybe he'll be here. Third mic?
Third mic. With all due respect. But yeah, that's what it's kind of looking like. Tillman is getting to a... I mean, who knows what...
What's next for him? What's the next thing you want to see him develop before the World Cup? Or what's one thing you want him to add to his game or refine?
I mean, like he should be getting more assists, right? Like he should be making the players around him.
He got the so much only
better. He got the only assists. I'm just saying, but like in general, even for his club, like he should be making the players around him better. Mm-hmm. And you know, obviously, my hope is that translates a lot in on the national team. But yeah, it's very much feeling like he's a lock for starting at the World Cup.
I completely agree. Yeah, as far as I'm concerned, that's his moment. So I'm happy with where he's at. What I would love to see him is I want to see him be a little bit goal dangerous, maybe just from outside the box.
Okay.
You know, sort of like, you know how Martin Odegaard, like when he gets the ball, if he has a chance, he's going to take that one extra step and take that shot. I kind of want to see him add that just to get the defenders a little bit closer to him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Give everyone else a little bit more space. I think that's going to bring him those assists that you want.
Let's take a look at the chat.
What do you guys got for us?
What people are saying. Thanks.
What you guys chatting?
What y'all got to say?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, we have Bryce Jackson said so magical. I assume it says much potential with Tillman, McKennie, and Luna as a midfielder. Probably not those together, but some combination. That it's interesting.
Luna's going to cause a few issues come World Cup of where who starts and who doesn't.
I mean, for me, right now at the three in the middle. And it might be five in the middle. I don't know exactly what it's going to look like. Because this three at the back formation seems like we play better. With three, but I'm thinking of three midfielders, I'm thinking of Adams, Tillman, and McKennie.
Yeah, I can't argue with that. But I can also see if you're having a bad game, if you're one of those three, maybe even a McKinney, if you're ineffective, which I don't see that happening, by the way. I think he's going to be very effective in the World Cup. But I can see Diego Luna getting on earlier than most.
But we're in the same with McKinney, not maybe a little less with Weah, but we're still in the like, you know, does you have a new manager or no? I think
no, it's the what's his face?
I forgot his name, but we're still in the like what's this player going to do for me? What position is he going to play?
I think he's just so effective. He's almost a victim of your own versatility.
Sure.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Let's see. We have Andrew Johnson said, the question is, what kind of sandwich is Gio going to be eating while everyone else is at the World Cup? He's a Jersey kid, so Taylor ham, egg and cheese on a roll.
Hey, at least it's Taylor ham, baby.
He must not be interested in being an athlete anymore if he's eating that.
Igor Tudor is the manager.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Croatian. So yeah, maybe that helps Weston McKennie set a little bit. But there's a lot, obviously. Andrew Johnson said, if Haji had made something out of Max's through pass, it would have made me really happy. That Haji's, that was his first touch, if I'm not mistaken, right? I think that was a little bit of a tough one.
So biggest takeaways after this game.
I guess that's tough because what I expected to happen didn't. So my takeaway is a little bit different than what it probably would have been in the beginning of the match. For me, the biggest takeaway is we have a lot of options where we didn't. And that's why I'm happy that we're experimenting a lot more and we're finding where the talent that we have that are clearly on the fringes, right? Like a Tanner Tessman probably isn't going to be your starter come the first match of the World Cup. Aiden Morris probably isn't going to be your starter come the first match of the World Cup. But maybe Max Harfston isn't even. Maybe there's a chance he is, but it doesn't feel like he might be. For me, we're finding where the level of talent is that can come in and make those changes. Injuries are always a problem come the World Cup because people played a full season. You know, squad depth is an issue when you have 48 nations. You need to have players you can trust to come in. Diego Luna's already proven he's that guy. Max Fries, as far as I'm concerned, is your number one.
Max Fries?
Matt Fries. I was thinking of Arsene. Matt Fries, clearly your number one now. I mean, I think that's pretty much settled.
Yeah, and just to add with Matt Fries and why I think he's the number one, and I think he showed it in this game in the stopping of that cross.
Mm-hmm.
He caught a cross.
He came out.
That Campana was going to get on.
Yeah,
And he's, and credit to him, man, he's done this a lot for NYCFC as well, where he predicts, he makes guesses on what ball is going to be coming in.
Mm-hmm.
And he doesn't get it wrong for the most of the most part. You let that cross go through because what if they hit it right at your goal?
Like, he's good at anticipating.
Yeah. And those moments of confidence, I think, help a lot where
he also has pretty quick reaction time.
Yeah.
Where I feel like it's not necessarily guessing. He just cheat out a little bit sometimes.
Yeah. So it works out well. So, we got Spider Zlatan said Ecuador's keeper had a nice game.
Yeah. He's lying in his stats.
We have to talk about the Ecuador keeper.
Was it Galitan? What's his name again?
Galindez.
This man listed as 6'1". Ain't no way.
There's no way, bro. He looked like...
I'm listed as 125.
I think Diego Luna was taller than him, right?
And maybe he said not enough MLS guys. Well, actually, as far as Diego Luna taller than him is crazy. But he stood on his head, man. That one goal, who was it? Was that Tillman's shot that he made the crazy save on?
No, that was Chris Richards.
Chris Richards. That's right, the header, right?
He got it with his foot. But.
Oh, was it? Well, anyway, get a hand on it off the post. He stood on his head for a moment. It was going to take a lot to beat him. Spider Zlatan said, Arsen is one that really does nothing. It's so...
How can you say that after this game?
Bro, literally did what you asked him to do. Every time he's come in, he's looked good. He wasn't playing as a wing. He was playing as a wing back, so we didn't see him as effective in the final third.
I disagree. I mean, I thought he was...
There were moments where he was being a midfielder in the last few times he came
in.
I
thought he looked the most confident out there.
Spider's locked on again. Arsene is just not good enough. But Pacho's, what do you have against this man?
He is, look, he's, we saw Jedi Robinson on the bench and he might play in the next game, but that's his spot. We know that. But
he's going to be a starter unless he starts in the midfield.
So left, as far as, okay, Spider's locked on, what other left backs?
Other than Anthony?
Other than Anthony Robinson, do you think should replace Max Arfston.
I love Christopher Lund, and I don't think he's got the versatility that Max Arfston has.
Arfston, I remember seeing...
Who was the other dude? There was another dude that started or played. Oh,
the dude with the headband, right?
Yeah.
Was it the
dude? What's my guy's name?
I forgot his name.
No, the guy with the big curly hair was the right back.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know who was the other left back.
Who was the other guy? There was another left back that started. Let me see if I can find it. But yeah, I mean, Max Arfston has kind of solidified himself as at very least the backup to Anthony Robinson.
And I had seen him talking about the goal that he scored in the Gold Cup. I forgot who he was talking. I think he was talking to Landon Donovan and Tim Howard about this, about being like left and right. He was like two-footed. He took his, Landon, for a USMNT striker, to point out, he was like, that goal that you scored, you took that shot with your right foot like you were a right-footed player. And he basically said, like, oh, you know, my dad growing up, he just like instilled in me that I had to be good with both feet.
Right.
And I think that's also a big factor of why he gets a lot of opportunities with the national team. When you think about players that are most players are not good with both of their feet. Right. And the fact that he is a left back that is and can get in the midfield.
This is crazy. USMNT Otaku marks up every time he was on the ball versus Ecuador. It's a guy not even touching the ball. But this is absolutely insane. What are you watching?
This is a bit much.
Right? Especially when you sit down like a little chicken on him.
Okay. That's Alan St. Maximan. Again.
First of all. This is very much a boomerang, okay?
Look, he did this maybe once in the game. I'll say that. I'll give them credit for that.
There were a lot of pointless step overs where you're not going to get the defender to move, but they were on purpose. He wasn't just Ronaldo at United out there.
I think he was doing that because it seemed like the...
Max, Herc Gomez said, pleasantly surprised by the USMNT versus Ecuador match. Even without Tyler Adams, Anthony Robinson, Serginho Dest, and Pulisic having limited time, they still look good. Ballo, Tessman, and Tillman were excellent. The second he talks about how great Arfston was in the next
we couldn't put it up.
We don't have that much.
We don't have enough space because we have too
real
many.
Estate is tight.
We have too many spiders Lata on tweets.
This is crazy. I don't understand where the Max Arfston hate comes from because he didn't do anything bad.
I don't think he did anything bad. Was he? It seemed like the directive was a little bit of to not send in crosses. That's why I think Arfston was doing a lot of step overs because he was not, if he couldn't get past that first defender, he was not going to try and cross the ball.
Max Arfston, one of the highest rated, by the way, via FotMob. I'm just, again.
Yeah, I mean, like you could sort of tell there were several moments, and it wasn't just Max Arfston, that were not crossing the ball for almost any reason. They were just like, I felt like they were just trying to score in a different way.
There were also moments where, and this happened a lot more when Diego Luna came on. And again, if we're going to be a little nitpicky.
Yeah.
There were moments where, and I feel like it happened on the right-hand side with Freeman on the ball as well, where runners were advancing to make a run and the ball kept getting circulated back to the back line. And it's like, what are we doing? This is a friendly. Take a chance.
Andrew Johnson, Andrew's a Columbus Crew supporter. Right, but
sorry, he's going to come hard for Arfston.
But he said, Arfston had 93% passing and 56 touches. People just hate him because he has better hair than Landon.
He does got good hair, though.
He has fantastic hair.
Oh, my God. Yeah, Landon, wild jealous.
Landon, he bought his hair. It's fantastic as well.
I don't think it's great, but whatever. You do whatever.
The hair is nice. Does it look right necessarily?
I don't think it's either those things, but whatever. Whatever makes you feel comfortable, you know what I mean? The only other right back or left back I could find was Tolkien, and I don't think that's the guy I was thinking of.
No,
he doesn't.
There's nobody else as far as that. So that's all right. As far as Pochettino, well, we got on the Pochettino confidence meter, what we thinking.
What was I last time? Carter, do you remember what I was last time? Because that's pretty high. B-. I think I'm ready to go to B+.
Wow.
I think I'm ready to go to B+ here.
I'm right at B. This game gave me a lot of confidence in what this team is capable of. Maybe this three at the back might be the best way to get results in games.
Let me ask you this. Why don't we take a look at Mauricio Pochettino as where is he on his journey to being the full-on men's national team coach? He understands the players we have. He's seen them.
I mean, he gets paid $6 million a year.
No. He understands the roster. He understands the pool we have.
Okay.
He understands who can play where. How comfortable is he? If he had to make his starting lineup for the roster for the World Cup today, what percentage do you think he's at that he's already there? Do you think he's at 100%? He could do it today.
Could is
based on what you've seen.
As far as his competence, I think
forget that because obviously he's coach. I mean, based on what he's been able to see, do you think, he's got the lay of the land. He understands what everyone can do for him. He knows what players have, the abilities they have. He understands exactly where to put everyone.
I'm 90. I'm like at 90%.
Yeah, I'm kind of comfortable with that number.
Yeah. I mean,
I wish it was at 100 a lot earlier, but obviously him coming in late, not having a lot of, competitive matches.
Sure.
Right? I think he's done pretty good so far.
Yeah, and again, I think this against this opponent is really where you kind of make those assessments and make those determinations of like, a really bad loss to this team hurts your confidence a little bit. I still think of like the Switzerland, the 4-0, like that one that's a really bad look.
What meaningful game was that?
What meaning? Again, friendlies don't matter. Nothing matters. Nothing matters.
How about this? If you think friendlies,
I hate that.
If you think friendlies matter, hit the like button. If you don't think friendlies matter, hit the like button.
It doesn't matter, right? But then I see Balogun scores that goal and Alexis is so excited and everything and the positive. So it doesn't matter positively and it doesn't matter negatively. You seem to show that it matters more when the results are positive.
Exactly how I feel about this. The result necessarily doesn't matter as much. If we would have lost 2-0, but we looked great and there were moments where we combined or players that we want to see stepped up or players were put under pressure and they reacted positively, then I'm fine with it. That's what a friendly is for. It's an exhibition match. We want to get things out of it other than just winning the game. You don't get 3 points for winning this game. We didn't get a point for drawing. Who cares? Spider Slaton, hater number one on this chat, said Destin Weah, both can do that better. Yes, those are your starters. Spider Slaton again said Ecuador kept running past him. LOL. You just don't like this.
But he wasn't there to defend today.
No.
That wasn't his job.
Jesus. Spider Slaton's like, that dude can't even dunk. And we're not asking him to dunk.
Man.
Production loves you, Spider. Maybe Ant said, have the U.S. men's national team ever had a good run? Oh, wait, hold on. Michael Raymond said, a bald person has better hair than Landon. Oh, dude, Michael Raymond. Maybe Ant said, have the U.S. men's team ever had a good run without a balding, bald, receding hair guy? Hairline guy. Donovan, Bradley, Guzan, Keller, right, Keller, Friedel.
Do we have any bald people on the roster?
No.
We don't got any balls.
Damn.
Not Michael. Even anybody losing their hair.
Tim Ream, is he receding a little bit?
Nah, bro, his hair is beautiful.
Traction alopecia, dog. He keeps it in that ponytail.
Nah, dog, he's good.
Damn, bro, everybody got a hairline.
This is an interesting discovery. I did not realize this. Yo. We got no ball. I'm looking at, everybody got, the hairlines are solid.
Maybe Yunus Musa, does he buzz short?
Are we even a serious team?
Damn, we got no oldies? What a great question.
Maybe, Ant, thank you so much for pointing this out. Even on the bench?
Oh, Michael Raymond said, you can't say friendlies don't matter, but support experimenting. What are you talking about? That's literally what I'm saying. Why is this so confusing to people?
But it's just the statement.
You know who agrees with me? Mauricio Pochettino. The man who's getting paid $6 million.
So they do matter for the sake of experimenting. You can't say.
I mean, they don't matter in the sense that like, if we would have won 3-1, I'm not saying we're a 3-1 better team than Ecuador. Maybe Ecuador didn't have the starters. Maybe they made too many subs. There's a lot of reasons. This isn't an official match.
Gotcha.
Is everyone on the same page here? Spider Slaton, don't comment.
You're cut off.
Everyone but Spider.
My goodness. I'm still stuck on. I'm like,
yes, there's no baldies on the team, which is crazy, bro.
There's nobody.
So from now on, when people say, like, how would Landon Donovan fit in this team? He wouldn't, bro. You wouldn't be allowed. You got no hair, dog.
I forgot. James Sands is on this roster.
Yeah, he was on the roster. Didn't get a chance.
Maybe the next one. We'll see. But brother, okay.
Maybe I said producer, throw up the green screen comment. Where is what green screen comment? I don't want to see it.
It'll be a nice surprise for us if we didn't see
good.
It.
All right. Here's look, at the end of the day, what I want from a friendly is an opportunity to go out and test a few things. Mm-hmm. Let's see where we're at. Let's say, you know what? Put him in a three in the back line, put this guy in the midfield, see if he can handle it. That's kind of what I think needs to happen. And I'm not the only one. Clearly that's what's happening here. And for everyone who says like, it should be our best 11 going out there playing like it's as if the first match of the World Cup, what we're not learning anything from that.
I disagree that we're not learning. You know,
what are we learning? What would you get out of that?
It's just like anything. It's reps with your
been playing with each other since they were okay. This your is best a wild statement I was about to make. They've been playing together on a team since right, they were teenagers.
We know what you meant. I think.
Heavy pause. Yeah. So anyway, these guys have been playing with each other since they were kids. No, they've been playing together. They understand each other.
I don't share that same belief. Balogun being injured for, you know, close to a year.
Oh, he never played with these guys.
It's anything. It's chemistry. You need.
Baker's breakdown says crazy take, Alexis. Players step on the pitch to compete. Yes, but to compete for what? In this game, the result necessarily isn't what you're competing for. Max Arfstrom is competing for. Can I do the agenda that Pochettino laid out for me? Balogun is competing for, can I prove to Pochettino that I have that extra level he asked me to get to, that I could do these two or three things that I've been missing from my game? Tanner Tesman is competing for, can I prove that I belong in the squad, that I can link up with these players? Aiden Morris is competing for, can I prove that the move to Europe has made me rise to another level? It's not about the same thing as a regular game, or else it would have been a regular game.
We have this conversation all the time. If the U.S. had gone on a 8-game winning streak of friendlies, you know what that does to the confidence of every player?
To people who don't know ball.
Of course. That's
it. I hate to say this. I'm smarter than all of you.
Same thing. Losing is brutal. It of course it means something.
Sure.
It's ridiculous.
Sure, but if you're putting in different players, then who cares? Andrew Johnson said, where might need to shave it off then? Maybe he can put a pass in. Why are we hating Wayo all of a sudden? He had a pretty good game.
We're here. We have a high standard, and the fans do as well. So I understand some of the comments and some of the takes.
I do like the fact that U.S. fans are back to expecting more from their players, because there was a period there, especially after the Gold Cup, where they were like, "Could we just look good for 20 minutes?"
Well, overall, I mean, and speaking of the goal that we did give up, Chris Richards. Not to really,
he got
only,
turned. He
the
got
only
turned.
Mistake he made.
Yeah,
and it's just, I almost would be fine with it even more if it wasn't Ener Valencia, bro. It can't be. You can't get done by he is at least what, like 15 years older than you, bro. Yeah. Like it can't be him. Anybody but him. Ener Valencia, the king of escaping child support.
Damn.
Legendary.
Well, that's how he knew to get away from.
My man, he still has the pace.
Damn.
He just pictured his ex.
He's like, what are you, a barrister?
If people don't remember, Ener Valencia, a legend in the game for pretending to be injured after a game.
To get out of the building.
To get out of the building.
While the police were there.
The police were after him because they were trying to collect child support. So. My man is a legend for many reasons, but that's one of them. So, that was the only mistake Chris Richards made. And you can see when he gave up the goal, when you watch it in slow motion from the camera behind the goal, it is such a frustrated, like, oh, I let that one. I can't believe I let that one in. Yeah. So
let's talk a little bit about the next match that we're going to go up against.
Yes.
Australia. Which normally, you know what I mean, I'm not too worried about, but they are on one hell of a run, dude. They haven't lost a match since they lost to Bahrain on September 6th, 2024.
Mm.
They have nothing but draws and wins and a lot more wins. In fact, they're on a 7-game win streak, including the last win was against Canada, who, I mean, for many times have looked better than the U.S. So this is... really, really impressive from Australia.
Australia already qualified for the World Cup, right?
Australia, I believe so.
Let's confirm that.
They're playing in Colorado at Dick's Sporting Goods Park. How are you feeling about this? Who do you want to see start for the U.S. men's national team in this game?
Sands, I think I mentioned earlier.
That'd be fun.
Sands would be fun. And I think he would be going up against his St. Pauli teammate, I forgot his name. But the dude that paints his nails, he's awesome. I forgot his name. But he's a great player. I forgot.
Connor Metcalf.
Is it Connor? I don't remember his name. But anyway, but he's a. I know he's a great player. I've seen him there.
Yeah.
Connor, okay. So the Sands would be cool to see. Maybe in the replacing Aiden Morris and see what kind of he can do.
Would your head explode if it was James Sands, Tanner Tessman, and Aiden Morris?
No, it would not explode.
Like, which one's which?
Look, if they all three were there, Sands would not be a midfielder. But
does Christian Pulisic? Do you want to see him start?
I do. Yeah. Really? He played 15 minutes in this game. Mm-hmm. If he's healthy, yeah, and he can do it, go for it. Yeah. Australia arguably might look like maybe given the form that they're in.
The form they're in.
Yeah,
right
yeah.
Now,
it might be a tougher game. But yeah, this feels like with all due respect to Australia, it feels like we should have a better chance to win this game versus Ecuador. On paper, you're going to assume at least with Australia, we have a chance. And then after this game, the game also being at home, the altitude, I don't know if that's going to affect both teams in any real way.
Yeah, maybe probably would affect Australia a little more considering where they are. Quick question. Are we worried that Tim Ream is still starting in the back line?
Worried is not the word I would
that
use.
That was the word I used because I'm a little worried.
So this is the reason I think he is starting all these games. And I think why he will start in the World Cup is because I think he's our best passing center back. He's a great passer with both feet, accurate. As far as defending, really pacey players, that's not... Okay. The other center back is going to do that.
Right. Okay. Which we saw what happens when Chris Richards is left to especially do it all on his own.
Especially if it's three at the back. Yeah.
So, and then here's my next question. Do you remember when Trent Alexander-Arnold played for Liverpool? What did every team do? They went after Trent Alexander-Arnold defensively because that was the weakest point on the back line.
Yeah.
As much as I think Tim Ream is incredible at spacing, a genius defensively, right? He knows what he's doing. He's or maybe genius is a strong word, but he's probably the most confident defender we have. The most competent defender we have. Age is only going to the clock ain't turning back. He's only going to get a year or six, 7 months older. He's going to be older, even older by the time the World Cup comes. Can he keep that up? Can he play at that level?
If he was
a match in and match out.
If these last 6 months, if he was getting burned all the time and really looked like he wasn't up for it, I would be concerned. But that isn't really the case. He's not there to be an athletic center back. I think he's there to control the game a little bit, to be basically a very almost like a defensive midfielder. But he's to me, he's like our Virgil van Dijk. And I say that not to say that he is as good as a Virgil van Dijk, but he is. Virgil van Dijk is a player. He never slide tackles. He's never almost
he
ever
puts
in situation.
In the right position.
He's just always in the right position. So if Tim Ream was looking bad, they were going after him, and he couldn't. Getting kind of humiliated. Then I would be concerned. But that isn't really the case. We give up one goal from a turnover, good pass, and Valencia. He's like, all right, I'm gonna hit turbo right here and do
that
what I can do.
Was incredible.
And Tim Ream was nowhere to be found because he's not even a part of that play.
Spider Zlatan said, luckily Ream has Arvston next to him to cover him. I know when you're being condescending, okay? All right, Spider. It's weird. All right, we got a couple more. Sands for Miles at center back. The only reason Andrew Johnson I'm gonna disagree is because we're seeing at St. Pauli, Sands is forward.
We were in Hamburg and we saw him play in person, and he is a great defensive midfielder in Bundesliga.
Maybe Ann said players stop on the pitch to compete. Step on the bro, obviously never watched Shaqiri with the Chicago Fire.
He was here to get the deep dish.
Maybe answer our Virgil. Man, Christian better go crazy on this burner. That USMNT otaku about
to
say
so
far.
But you know what I mean, right? That's I'm not saying it's not crazy to
maybe
say that.
Maybe also says Ream clears Virgil.
Maybe clears his locker.
Maybe clears his search history. Spider Slot does it. Seemed like a tactical fail. Richard shouldn't have been left on an island like that. I completely agree.
I mean, what are you going to do? You're playing three at the back.
Richards did get turned, though. He should have had help, but he did get turned by a man who's older than Tim Ream.
I don't.
And that's important to know.
I don't agree with that. He should have had help. It's a quick play, quick turn.
That is disrespectful to Virgil. Yeah, I get what you're saying though. He's our most sage defender. Yeah,
just chill back there.
Yeah,
that's it. That's all I expect.
Get it. Throw the green screen one up. I don't know what you're talking about. Can you just resend it? I haven't seen the green screen comment. Just re-put it in the chat again, and maybe we'll throw it up because I haven't seen it. But thank you for everyone who's been in our chat so far. You guys have been absolutely hitting.
Yeah, hilarious. All right. So
wait a minute. Maybe Ant said, is the background a green screen here too? MLS On Air broke my heart when they revealed that the studio was entirely green screen. How much more betrayal can I take? All right, go to the main. Let's resolve this once and for all. Because we had a guy who's like a consultant be like, yo, your green screen's kind of weird. What green screen, bro?
we have a real thing, bro. You can touch it. I hope all the rumors are done for. Yeah, it is. So it's interesting. MLS, their studio wasn't green screen when it was in Harlem.
At 106 and Park.
Yes, their 106 and Park studio was a real studio.
But now they fully green screen.
Yeah, they moved to Stanford and they went fully green screen. And it is, have you ever worked on a full green screen set like that?
I have, yeah.
I never have. So it's like, obviously it seems very trippy to be just like in this green space.
I had to do a commercial where they had like a stick with a ball in it and I was talking to like Bigfoot or something like that.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm like, there's a tennis ball on a stick and I'm like, hey, Bigfoot, you know, I gotta do the lines. It's pretty dumb. It's not easy. It's not easy to do. But everyone can't believe this is green screen. We gotta fix this.
I mean, it's...
Also, why would we choose this? Holy shit, it is real.
It is real.
Yeah, man, we will never betray you.
Okay, I like Major League Soccer.
No.
We would never. But yeah, so... Overall, this we've done these a lot of these post game shows after U.S. MNT matches, and I think this is probably the most optimistic I think I've been.
This is the most fun episode we've had.
Sure, I mean, fun is not, I don't know about that. I mean,
lighthearted.
We won games.
We didn't yell at anyone. You all yelled at Max Arfston. We didn't yell at anybody.
The chat hates Max Arfston, and we think he's okay.
Michael Raymond said, "Post the commercial." It never came out. Terrible.
I gotta find. I've done a couple commercials. I gotta.
Oh, I got one. I got a real bad one.
Oh, all right.
Yeah.
Erectile dysfunction.
No. It's not even like that. It just. I look so embarrassing in it. Okay. I got like a middle spike in my hair. I'm in a tiny jet shirt. Remember that?
All right, Patreon. You know what you're getting.
Oh yeah.
All right.
check out my OnlyFans, bro.
all right, everybody. Are we wrapping up?
Yeah, this is it. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. If you haven't already, hit the subscribe button. If you're watching on one of the other channels, hit the like button, baby.
Yes. Yeah,
so you know what that does? It tells Yahoo. It also tells Yahoo. But it tells YouTube, hey, we like this guy. Why don't you show it to one of your other friends?
Yes.
And YouTube's like, I got a lot of friends.
And yeah, when they say we like this guy, we know you don't mean Max Arfston.
Mm.
It's everybody but Max Arfston. Shout out to everybody watching across all the Yahoo Sports channels. Thank you. All the people on Twitter, TikTok, all the social media platforms that we all know and love.
Yes, absolutely. Hit the like button, share whatever you like that's ours. If it got our face on it, share it.
Exactly. And make sure you subscribe to the podcast on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We have
they're cooking you for the flex of going to a Bundesliga match. Maybe Ant said, we watched him in person.
Well, actually, I just don't want it to seem like I was just watching on ESPN. I'm just like, there's a difference. You know what? Because we're watching. I had Sands cam the entire time.
Bro, we weren't watching the rest of the match. We were watching James Sands.
And you can't see it, but behind this camera, We have James Sands' jersey from that game.
That's part of the green screen.
No, that's the green screen. Yeah. Don't worry about it. Everything not behind us is green screen.
There's green screen behind the camera. Thank you so much for hanging out with us. Is there anything else? We're going to be live Mondays and not live, but we're in your ears and on your screens Mondays and Thursdays.
And go check out our most recent episode with Kid Super, who is a fashion designer. Works in soccer, comedy. He made 8 of the jerseys at the Club World Cup. For Puma. So we just talked to him recently and he's a very
incredible,
influential figure. And I think if you are interested in any of these things, you'd love to hear from him. So go check out that episode tomorrow morning for anybody tuning in right now in New York. We're going to be hosting Times Square Cup with Borussia Dortmund and Street Soccer USA. That starts at 9 a.m. in Times Square. They put a pitch right in the middle of Times Square, right by the tickets booth.
And there's going to be an nor'easter for later in the day. So
get there early, avoid the bad weather. So we're going to be there for that. And that's going to be really cool. So if you're in New York and you want to come by Times Square, you can see us.
We
can be a part of your vacation if you're out here. All right. Let's wrap it up there. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. Shout out to the Yahoo team behind Carter and
Staying
Ingrid.
With us late.
Doing the graphics. It is late. It's all past our bedtimes.
Yes.
But thank you so much for hanging out with us as well. All right. Everybody, take care. Peace.